My guest at this time is Matthew Staver. He is the founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel, and he is the dean of the Liberty University School of Law. He is also the lead counsel for two families in California that contend that they have benefited greatly, particularly the minor teenager in the case, who has gone to therapy in order to deal with unwanted same-sex attractions. However, California has approved a ban on so-called gay conversion therapy. New Jersey has recently followed suit. Pro-gay organizations have condemned such therapy and suggest that the teenagers are often forced into it by parents who simply don't approve of their homosexuality. Today in California, a panel on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals upheld the ban. And Matt, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
I just gave a very thumbnail background of this debate. You've obviously been involved with it in much greater detail. What do our listeners need to know in the build-up to this particular decision from a panel of the Ninth Circuit?
Well, let me clarify something before I talk about that. You mentioned in a situation where a minor might be forced by their parents to get this counseling. This is not about parents not being able to, quote-unquote, force minors to get this kind of counseling. This is about minors who want this kind of counseling and parents who want to support their sons or daughters to get this kind of counseling. The individuals that we represent in California are minors and their parents. We have two different sets of parents and minors, along with counselors and counseling associations. These minors have gone to their parents, and they have said, I am having these issues, and I am beginning to have these same-sex sexual attractions. I don't want to have these attractions. I don't want to engage in same-sex behavior. I don't want to identify myself as homosexual. Can you help me? And so the parents have sought out counselors who can, and they're supporting their children, in this case, 14, 15 years old, that have been in counseling now for a year or more. And the council has actually helped these children. Their self-anger and hatred has gone down. Their self-esteem has gone up. Their relationship with their friends has improved. The relationship with their family has greatly improved. And they want this counseling. Now, under this particular law and this ruling, that counsel will have to come to an end. This is devastating to them. So this is a very dangerous decision, because for the first time we have the government telling a counselor what kind of counsel he or she may give to a client who needs it, instead of leaving it up to the counselor's professional judgment and to the clients who have a right of self-determination to set their own counseling objectives. The state has stepped in and said, no, we're going to force only one viewpoint. That viewpoint is homosexual feelings, homosexual behavior, homosexual identity, mannerisms, or whatever. Even if you don't like it, even if you detest it, just get used to it. They're good, natural, and normal. If you've got a problem with it, let's change your religious and moral values, but let's affirm all these other things as natural and normal, even though the client, the patient, does not want to have that affirmed as natural and normal, even though they want to change. Under this law, they will be told, sorry, you can't change. You must accept it. And that is astounding.
The Ninth Circuit, of course, widely considered to be the most liberal appellate court in the country, so this decision might not come as a huge surprise, but what was their rationale for upholding this ban?
Well, they really don't have any good rationale for upholding this ban, and here's what we did. In December of 2012, we've got a three-judge panel from the Court of Appeals of the Ninth Circuit that actually entered an injunction stopping the enforcement of this law, 3-0. Now we got a separate 3-0 panel from the same Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, but three different judges that have now decided to uphold the law. And they basically say, well, it's not a free speech issue. It's not a parental rights issue. It's not a freedom of association issue. It's not a religious free exercise issue. The state has a right to be able to pass this law. The fact of the matter is that they know, in fact, when I made this argument before the Court of Appeals, one of the judges on this panel was grilling the state attorney and said, where's your evidence that this is harmful? And they tried to fumble around. He says, where is it? Point me to the record where it is harmful. And they tried to point to the APA task force of 2009, and the judge says that doesn't support it. In fact, the same task force says there's evidence of benefit of this kind of counseling, and there's no research whatsoever, zero regarding minors. So the state doesn't have any background or foundation to ban this kind of viewpoint. This is completely and only politically motivated.
Matt, in your statement, you say you're not sure yet whether you'll try to appeal this to the full Ninth Circuit or go straight to the Supreme Court. Given the very different attitudes from these three-judge panels, it's easy to see why you'd still be considering going to the Ninth Circuit. What will ultimately determine which path you take here?
Well, we likely will ask the full Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals to rehear this case because we've had three say we are entitled to an injunction in which we got an injunction, and we've had three now who have upheld the law. So consequently, we think that there is good reason to go to this entire panel of judges.
Matt, when it comes to this issue, and you and I have talked about this a lot over the years, you mentioned after the president was reelected, you thought it might be the beginning of the end of America in terms of our cultural heritage and the things that we value on a spiritual level. We obviously got Supreme Court decisions that I know you were not pleased with, and now we're seeing this happening in California, the same thing happening in New Jersey. Do you get the sense that this is simply going to be implemented regardless of what the law actually says and what the Constitution says?
Well, you know, I think what we're seeing is the zero-sum game that I talked about a long time ago that's coming. Now it's here, and that is the homosexual agenda is a zero-sum game. There's a winner and a loser. There's no compromise. There's no tolerance. It is a dominating agenda that not only wants to crush every other worldview or every other contrary opinion, but force every other contrary opinion to actually fall in line and affirm homosexuality as normative. That's the clash that's here. This is the clash that Americans and the people in the church and pastors ought to be aware of, because this will be a totalitarian type of collision with religious freedom and free speech. I mean, for the first time in history, we've got a federal court of appeals and upholding a law that says you can only have one viewpoint on a subject matter. From a counseling perspective, there's no other area of counseling, none, that you can even remotely analogize to this.
Matt, do you believe that the arguments being made by the gay lobby are succeeding in convincing some of these public officials, judges, lawmakers, and so forth? Or do you think they're just afraid of the backlash if they don't support it?
I think there's some that are afraid of the backlash, no question. I think there's some that are just ideologically driven. That's what you have in California. That's what you have in New Jersey. You got an open homosexual lawmaker who's willing to take children out of the home, literally, has recently said that, if, in fact, the parents provide this kind of counsel to their sons or daughters. And then you have other people that are just simply uninformed.
Last question, Matt, and this kind of goes perhaps a little bit further down the pike, but you mentioned the collision course with religious freedom. There's already fears out there. Some churches already putting together different policy statements, some perhaps putting together legal funds already in the expectation that there will be a lawsuit over either specific preaching from Scripture that adheres to traditional sexual relations or refusing to perform a same-sex ceremony. How soon do you think that'll hit the fan?
I think it's pretty quick. I think it's right around the corner. I think we saw the decision last week of the Supreme Court of New Mexico saying to a wedding photographer, you've got to give up your religious freedom if you want to be a wedding photographer, and you got to be forced to photograph same-sex ceremonies. I mean, that's just as absurd as saying you got to be forced to photograph KKK rallies. Someone who says, I'll photograph white people, I just won't photograph you when you gather in an event with hoods on your face and you have a KKK rally. But here, this lady says, I'll photograph anybody, but I'm not going to photograph a same-sex commitment ceremony. And this court said, well, you have to. You must. And notwithstanding your religious convictions, either give up your religious convictions or change them or get out of that profession. That's the zero-sum game. That's the zero-sum collision that we're now facing.
Matt, very interesting, and we'll certainly have you back as the battle goes on. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Matthew Staver is the founder and president of Liberty Counsel, the dean of the Liberty University School of Law. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.